Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But today is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have a wonderful story for you today. Normally, it's just a real estate story, but today it is a love story, which then turned into a very successful real estate investing story. In fact, this couple have done 64 different apartment complexes, of which they still own 40. They've sold off the other ones. Been doing this for 10 years and have made a massive amount of money over that period of time. And it has turned into a scuba diving story. And what more could you want? It's just an incredible story. So with me today, out of Katy, Texas, is Larry and Lenora Glover. Welcome, guys.
Oh, hi, Dale.
Well, hello there. Hey,
great to be back with you.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you on again. And I guess I scared you with the love story part, but I think that's probably the most interesting part of your story, besides all the fantastic real estate deals you've done. I remember way back when I met you, the first time you did a case study. And I'd really like you to share that part of the story about how you guys met, where you were at in your life at the time, and how you guys met, and then how did that progress from there? You want to share that, one of the two of you?
Larry, you want to take that?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Larry, shortly after I met Larry, he told me that he would probably never be able to retire due to the ever-increasing expense of his hobby, which is scuba diving in far-off South Pacific places.
But, all right, well, I'm going to stop you right there because I think you're leaving out part that I think is pretty interesting. Larry is not your first husband, correct?
Right.
When you married Larry, you wanted to not lose another one, right?
Right. My husband, my late husband had died when I was 49 years old. And then I retired at 50, and after I met Larry and he had told me this, I was determined to find a way for Larry to retire sooner rather than later so that we could have many carefree retired years together. Because with my first husband, we had worked and worked and worked, and the time came for his retirement, and he became ill over a period of 2 years, then it was gone. So that close together time was very important for me.
Something and like that really opens your eyes up, right? I mean, it's like, boom, there it is.
Yep. And I actually never thought I'd marry again. And Larry came along, and he had actually been a bachelor for 30 years. A neighbor introduced us, and we just hit it off right away. And haven't been apart since. So it's a true love story. It is.
So Larry, let's get you in here for a second. 30 years a bachelor, and she turned you.
Right. I had married early and had a pretty good life there, but once we divorced, I never found anybody that was as good as she was until Lenora came along. And she was exactly what I'd been looking for.
So what did it mean to you when she started confiding to you that she wanted to make sure that you got retired early so you guys could live that exciting life?
I didn't see how we could do it. I mean, I'd been working all my life. I was already accepted the fact that I was going to have to continue working because scuba diving and traveling was just getting more and more expensive. It was getting more expensive faster than I could make more money. So, you know, I still wanted to do that, so I just figured, well, I've got to work all my life to be able to do this.
So which one of you gravitated to real estate? How did you find us?
I was keeping my eyes and ears open, and I was out in the car running errands one day, and I happened to hear a broadcast from Lifestyles Unlimited, and it specifically dealt with single-family homes. I thought, well, you know what? I could do that for a while. And they announced a meeting date, and I asked Larry if he would attend with me because he is the greatest skeptic in the world. And I knew that if there was any scam edge to this, he would ferret it out.
Always good to have a good skeptic with you when you go to look at something new. So, right. Larry, did you think it was a scam?
Well, see, I had tried real estate earlier in my life. I'd read about it and thought, this is the way we should do it. And I had moved from one house to another and kept the previous house. And so I thought, okay, I could start. I could rent this house out and start, doing real estate. And I was going to be smarter than everybody else. I was going to make sure that I got paid. So I rented the house out to my friends. And you can figure out how that went. So I, after that, I decided, this doesn't really work. And I'm always skeptical about everything that I see and stuff. I've got to look at both sides and really figure it out for myself and just taking somebody's word. And so when we came there, I was skeptical. My idea was I was going to go to it with her, and I was going to look at it, and I was going to explain to her why it was a scam. But the more I listened to you, first of all, the way you presented and talked, it really impressed me because you came across as really honest and, like you say, just telling it like it is. And see, I really didn't actually listen to what you had to say. And for me, the big turning point was when you explained about leverage. Because even though I have a business degree, I always thought that debt was bad. And you wanted to avoid it at all costs. And you explained how you could actually make debt work for you. And for me, that was the turning point where I could see how this would work.
Since you didn't believe it could happen until you came and then you decided to go ahead and tell her to join up, what changed your mind? What were the aha moments in the 2-day that made sense to you that you could see something happening differently for you?
It was understanding the difference in the types of debt and the fact that you could actually use debt to help you make money. I'd always considered debt was bad. You tried to avoid it. You tried to stay out of debt. And you showed me how you could actually make it work for you.
Okay. Lenora, how about you? What was your aha moment?
It was just the fact, more the organization that you have in place, that you had mentors for the lead and you had a listing of contractors that the leads could refer to, and that at any time we had a question about anything, we could call in. We could call into the office, or we could call another passive, or we could call a lead. If there was a question, there was somebody that could answer it.
Gotcha. Now, by the way, we are still doing that where you can ride with the leads. The way you said it, it sounded like it was something in the past, but no, we still do that. And it does work because it allows people to network, get to know each other on these deals. Yeah. So you guys came out of the 2-day and you decided multifamily right away. Tell us about your plan. You must have sat down and had a plan. What was your plan out of the blocks? Buy one, buy two, buy five? What were you thinking?
Well, initially it was to sell two houses. Larry owned two houses, fully paid. And I owned one house fully paid. We actually ended up selling that house as well. And we bought a fourth house for the two of us to live together in and used the excess funds to start investing. And we did as you instructed. We turned to our 401ks. And as deals that we wanted to partner with came through, we would withdraw the funds and use those to enter into the deal.
Okay.
When we took money out of the 401k, we paid extremely high taxes on taking that money out because that put us into the highest tax bracket for taxing.
Really? And how old were you then when you were pulling that money out at that time 10 years ago?
I had just turned 65, so I didn't have to pay the 10% penalty, but I did have to pay just being in a higher tax bracket.
Gotcha. And, Lenore, I know you. If he didn't, then you didn't have to pay the penalty either. So at least it was a straight-up income tax, and you decided to go how quickly? How did you?
Well, one of the things is, you know, we did that just after I'd retired, and the amount that we paid in taxes that year equaled the entire amount of money I made the entire year, last year I worked. All that money went to taxes.
We don't regret having done it at all.
You realize that was money you owed somewhere sometime, Larry, right?
Right.
You're just, oh, they finally got me. But we've all heard the two things you can't get away from is death and taxes, right?
Yep.
But after you did that, what was your tax situation when you're making all these hundreds of thousands of dollars in this real estate deals? Did you pay any taxes on that money?
Taxes.
I didn't hear that. Can you say that again where I could hear that?
We paid zero taxes. It wasn't until just a couple of years ago when we sold one of the properties, and I had to pay, you know, the tax on that. And other than that, every year we've paid no taxes.
I bet you were unhappy about that also, huh?
Yes.
I don't know why people are so upset about paying taxes. I always laugh at people. I say, you know, does anybody here pay $400,000 last year in taxes? And nobody ever raises their hand. And I say, well, you don't have a tax problem. You got an income problem, right? Because I pay $400,000 in taxes, and I, you know, don't really mind doing it because it means I made $1 million. So I make my $1 million and pay my $400,000, which is 40%. Moving on. Once you do real estate, though, we cover that income. My real estate income is covered by depreciation, so they don't pay taxes on that. And that makes it pretty nice once you get to that point. When you guys decided to start doing these things in the very beginning, let's talk about your theory. Was your theory that the most important thing was to know the jockey, which is the lead investor, the syndicator of the deal, or was it the deal itself? Which one was more important, and how did you value those two?
The lead was the most important, and that's part of why the networking let us meet the leads, ride with them. We got to know them. We find out what their philosophy was on taking care of their passives, and that helped us decide on who to invest with. And then we looked for what deals they came up with.
Right. The deal still had to work.
Okay. And that was your department there, Lenora, because you were the money,
yes,
or you were the your accountant type
Claire
person?
And I would discuss it at length.
Gotcha. So I remember you telling me that, you know, you like to run the numbers since you're an accountant, and he's more of a business person. He likes to know the people.
Right. And it's been a good partnership that way.
Absolutely. So you decided on the first year to do how many deals?
We actually signed on 4 deals in the first year and the 5th deal just after the first of the year into the 5th year. And those first 5 deals were all yield plays, and they are the ones that retired, Larry.
That's interesting, too.
Oh, it was. It was like I was looking to retire that year, you know, as I approached the retirement age, and instead I got laid off like 3 or 4 months before that. But just a couple weeks before that, the 5th deal started paying off for us, and those 5 deals paid enough money to cover all our expenses. So even though I'd gotten laid off, I did not have to go out and start looking for another job. And that was a great
thing. Always great, and it's always nice when they do it for you, because it's really hard for you to pull the trigger and quit. But when they force you out the door and you don't worry about it, you don't have to come back, that's really a nice thing. So that was great. And you did 4, and then the 5th one were all yield plays. So you started in 2014. By 2015, you had retired.
Yes.
Is that what I'm reading here?
Yes.
Yep, mid-year. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. The story could end right there, but it doesn't, because you went on to be a super passive, and we want to cover that story. I think we'll take a short break before we do that, though, because there's a lot there. So we'll be right back with Larry and Lenora Glover and the Del Wamsley Radio Show. We'll be right back.
with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with a roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today. Get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Larry and Lenora Glover out of Katy, Texas. And we've just covered the fact that within 1 year, they were able to retire Larry. Lenora was already retired. And so let's pick it up from there, guys. You've got through the first year. You've got your properties that retired you. What was the thought at that point?
We still had more funds to invest, so we kept watching for the deals come along. We kept attending all the events that you offered here in Houston. And started networking with some contacts out of Dallas. And in 2015, we purchased 11, partnered in 11 properties.
Wow.
We started moving into longer-term deals, value plays. And for the first, because the first five were yield plays, pure yield plays, I paid on the first full quarter of operations. And then the next were value plays ranging from it's going to be 6 or 9 months till you get deals, or it's going to be 18 months. And, you know, in some cases, it's been 2 years, depending on how deep the value play was.
So what was your theory there? Why did you change approaches?
The theory was that we've got income that covers our expenses, and now we can start building the wealth side of it with a deep value play. Because, of course, with a deep value play, the value in your property is going to increase as you improve the property. And once it gets to a certain point, you're also going to have cash flow from it. And as the property improves, many times you can take a supplemental loan out, which is non-taxable. And it's usually distributed. And then, again, at the end, when you sell it, your property has, if it's been managed well, has gone up significantly since you first invested in it. So, I mean, we have received anywhere from, let's see, I have it right here. Yes. For instance, out of the first five deals we purchased, we still own three of those deals, and they have returned a total of 174% to 234%. And we still own them, even though they were yield plays. And on a value play that we purchased in 2016 that has sold, we received a 246% return.
So those are massive rates of return.
Those are. I wish all our deals were like that, but they aren't. But yes, these are. We were fortunate to meet some superb leads that knew their market, knew the management, know their resident space, have high retention rates. And they're just fabulous at what they do.
So let's talk about your diversification theory, if there was one, and if so, how did you work through trying to spread some of this stuff out since you had so much of it? I mean, 64 total deals is a lot of deals. how did you see diversification or the need thereof?
Diversification we saw as in, initially it was all in the Houston area, but it was in different areas of Houston. We had one in Dickinson. We had one up near the Woodlands. We had one, within the 610 and with different leads. Each one of those were with different leads as well. And over time, we started branching out to leads that we knew that lived here in Texas that were investing in properties out of state. And then through that, we came to know leads out of state that were investing in the state they lived in. And most of them came through reference. And, of course, they send you, when you sign up with them on Podium, they send you their background, their resume, their experience they've had while they've been in Lifestyles Unlimited. And we rate through those and say, well, you know, we'd really like to be with this lead, this lead, this lead. And so primarily it was selecting leads, looking at the markets, what they had to say about the markets, and at their past deals, the returns on their past deals. We have invested with first-time leads. We're with first-time leads in Utah, but they came with a reference from a lead that we were partnered with in Indiana. So,
yeah.
So you talk.
Ironically, the very first deal we got into was with a first-time lead.
I find myself that they work out quite well usually because they really are intent on getting it done right away and they're willing to listen to whatever I tell them. So I've had real good luck with first-time leads.
I think anybody would listen to you. They don't always listen to us. But yes,
well, that's okay because my kids don't listen to me. So there you go.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some version of net worth when you started the program compared to net worth at this point. What did you do? How did it work out for you?
It has worked out very well. We have more than doubled our net worth. And considering we started with a fairly large number, I'm very happy with that.
Okay. And even after all the distributions and living off it, that's the whole point. It's not like you took your cash out of your 401k and lived on it and it went down.
Right.
You've lived off of this now for 10 years and doubled your net worth.
Right. I think our net worth hasn't moved a lot in the past 4 years due to the onset of the pandemic. Because in 2020, we had no purchases, no refis, and no sales. And then, of course, after that, most leads were hoarding money so they would be sure that they could make it through this period of time. And then, of course, some of them found it necessary to make cash calls. And then some of them were in loans that they were able to sell the property. Like last year, we had a sale, and now this year, we're beginning to see, like in the last 3 weeks, there are three deals that have come through us through our contacts on Podium that look very promising. The sellers are realizing the property's not valued as it was prior pandemic, and that interest rates are higher. And there has to be a middle ground somewhere.
You summed it up. We had 2 years of the pandemic that just blew everybody away because, you know, nothing was going on. And then we had 2 years of them trying to get out of the inflation that the government created by giving all this money away during the pandemic. And so they raised the interest rates. And because of that, the values of properties went down. People that could hold on had no problem. I had no problem with any of my stuff. Most of the guys didn't. But those few people who bought at the peak of the market and put adjustable rate mortgages on there, that was a death knell I mean, they're just, what do? You're buying it at slim margins to start with. The prices are too high because interest rates have gone so low that, you know, the price got ridiculously high. And then they put this adjustable debt on it and boom. So the reality is that I'm excited to tell you that that has all changed. And I think you've figured it out since you've got three deals you're looking at. The stuff is back again. And that's beautiful. I don't think insurance is going to go away because of all the hurricanes. But the property taxes will eventually be fought back down again as these prices drop tens of millions of dollars on these properties. The taxing authorities aren't going to be able to hold up that they're worth that anymore.
It's just the way they change the insurance is making it hard for the leads to calculate it into their numbers and stuff.
Absolutely. And since then, we've started creating an insurance pool, which is taking the edge down a little. Won't say it's taking it away, but it took the edge down because it was getting ridiculous. I mean, it went from $450 a door when I first started to $800 a door before COVID to $2,000 a door during the worst part of it after all the hurricanes and everything. But it's back down to around $1,200, I think, now. And we're talking Texas here, guys. This is the hurricane region of the world right here. So it's higher here. In other places, insurance is much lower. In fact, San Antonio even. Hurricanes don't get to San Antonio, so it's better. So I got one more question. We're about to be done here with time, so I want to make sure I get this in. Larry and Lenora, happily married, many years. How do you get the scuba diving in? And when you go scuba diving, do you take Lenora with you, or does she stay at home and you go off with the boys? Tell us about the scuba diving.
Well, actually, I haven't been able to go. With the pandemic, when the pandemic happened, I had a trip planned to the Red Sea, and that got canceled, and I haven't been able to go diving since then. I still have plans, but it hasn't happened yet.
Wow. Do you go with him?
I have gone a few times. I became scuba certified, but I have found that I have sudden onset vertigo, and you do not want that happening underwater. So,
no doubt.
I don't do that anymore.
I gotcha. So what's the future, guys? You got 1 minute left here. What's the future look like for you guys? What's your plans?
It's rosy. We're going to continue investing. The new deals, reasonable deals are coming through. We have three more grandchildren. They post high school. They want to continue their education, and we are paying for that. So maybe get back to doing some traveling. We've had a few health issues, but we're almost through those. So life is great. We're retired. The day is ours.
That's what it's all about, right? It's not the money. It's the lifestyle.
It is. It is. The money helps, you know, up to a certain point. But then it's the lifestyle that is able to provide you.
Friends around you. People you knew, work acquaintances, what did they think when you told them you're going to retire?
They were happy for Larry, right?
Yes. None of them believed I could really do it, though, you know, because most of them still have to keep working.
And his sister still thinks it's a scam. So.
Oh, really? 10 years later? Huh? That's hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine that's invested in the stock market, and I was talking about it, and I said, well, I made this much money this year. And he goes, well, I lost $12,000 in the stock market, but what you're doing is a scam, you know.
That's hilarious. Well, guys, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to getting you at the expo again this year on maybe the get you up on stage and talk about this stuff. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.